Also, Jollibee and Ghibli are two different things.
Does your tea taste good?
A bit too hot.
Well, good, because it's about to get hot here. Welcome back to the Eco Talk Podcast. This is season two. So this platform is actually to amplify young voices and follow the narratives of students as they ascend to construct the future of our planet. And we hope you can join us on our trajectory as we acquire more knowledge and shape more perspectives, especially in this pandemic. It's paramount that young people are well-educated and informed about these issues that run on in our unprecedented world. So with that being said, kumusta? My name is Gianna, like geometry.
I'm Angela, like algebra.
I'm Mabel. I was trying to think of a word in another language to say as hi.
Wait.
Ni hao.
Wojao, Tim.
Like Saijin.
Mabel left me in Mandarin. Actually, Mabel was never in Mandarin, but still. Yeah.
So have you guys heard of the film by the Humane Society of the United States called Save Ralph? It's a video on YouTube.
Oh, I have not.
Is that about Wreck-It Ralph? I don't know.
That's what I thought too. Angela, do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, sure. So not really related to Wreck-It Ralph, but it takes the perspective of the animal being tested by companies. So you would be able to see how it feels and build a lot of empathy just from watching it. I recommend that you look at it. It's a good introduction to how animal testing works and why it's really bad, and probably one of the reasons why I had the idea of starting a topic like this for our podcast episode.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, is this the one with the bunny? And it's like really sad. Then the bunny goes through a bunch of testing.
That's the one.
Oh no!
Yes, you should definitely watch it.
I'm going to add that to my list of something to watch. Save Ralph. Oh, explain it.
Like the listeners. Crunch time. Is that okay?
Speed explanation.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's like this bunny. It's like a documentary style sort of thing. And then he's like, it's a day in the life of a normal bunny. And then they do a bunch of testing on him, which very life-threatening damages and stuff, like losing function of some limbs or something. And then eventually becoming blind.
Oh my God.
But then the whole time, the bunny is like, Ralph is like, oh, it's all for the humans. I bet it's going to be really useful and helpful to them. All this testing, it's going to help them. Like that, right?
Yes, I confirm. And what Mabel just described is animal testing. Do you guys, like, want to get into the definition of that?
Yeah. Oh, give it a hand for Mabel. Seriously. That was like 20-second explanation. See, Mabel's like just so fast. I've researched a little bit, but I think just defining what cruelty-free is to someone who doesn't know, have like any idea what this term means, usually on the back of any product, let's say
Mabel soap.
Mabel Dove. It's called a Mabel Dove. If it has a bunny on it, so you see this bunny icon's like, oh, they added this cute bunny sticker. No. This just means that it has not been tested on animals. When you opt for products that are not tested on animals, you're also ditching the bad chemicals like parabens, sulfates, and synthetic dyes that can come with testing. So generally, brands, let's say this Mabel soap, it probably has less chemicals, which is probably better for your skin and for your health in general, because you're not intaking toxic fumes that are kind of detrimental. And so these cleaner cosmetics are better for your skin, which means less likelihood of breakouts, allergies, and inflammation in general. So that's one reason why a lot of people go cruelty-free. And honestly, it also prevents the exploitation of many animals. For example, hint, hint, Ralph.
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 Get his name right. Know his name.
Man, my soap is so good.
Top tier. Yeah, so animal testing are used for like beauty products, maybe even for like your house cleaning products, but I know like beauty products are the main ones. Like it can be in your toothpaste, in your hand sanitizer, or like what we talked about, your shampoos. And
Mabel Dove.
Yes, Mabel Dove. And so these companies use animal testing to like ensure a product is safe. But there are many other alternatives, which we can get to later. But many animals are used in this process, like rabbits, dogs, cats, rodents. And it's really sad. Only 3% of animals that survive animal testing. Like, you guys, guess how many animals die each year from animal testing?
There's more than zero, which is too much.
So animal testing actually started like way, way back in the maybe around 100 BC. This would be when like some scientists would conduct experiments on animals and, for example, trying to make discoveries on anatomy. For example, Aristotle and I don't want to mispronounce his name. I'll just skip it.
Galen?
Yeah, him. Yeah, so scientists would use these procedures, and then in the 12th century became for testing the safety of beauty products and many other products in our household today.
Another thing to address is vegan and cruelty-free are very different things. So a product can be vegan but not cruelty-free. I know that sounds interesting. And a product can be cruelty-free and not vegan.
To prove my point further, cruelty-free actually doesn't have a definitive meaning. A lot of companies can actually manipulate this so that way they can classify as cruelty-free.
So I'm going to list some meanings of what cruelty-free can entail. First, the ingredients have been tested on animals, but the final product has not. The brand hired another company to conduct tests. The testing occurred in a different country, only used animal testing when it was required by law. At least one animal was harmed or killed and used for ingredients. The brand or companies involved in its supply chain have relied on the results of past animal tests, but they have not conducted any themselves. And then neither the ingredients nor the products have ever been tested on animals.
Another misconception is that there is no other alternative to doing animal testing. But there is. There's a website or a campaign that talks about all the different alternatives by the Cruelty Free International. And we have a history record of all the ingredients that are safe. There are thousands of ingredients that have already been proven safe. Like, there really isn't a need to test if they are safe again.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Beep. I think it's great to talk about cruelty-free stuff, but I'd like to take a small section in section 3 just to do a little PSA. So I noticed that at school, there's been a lot of waste. Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah.
PSA, don't throw away your perfectly packaged food. I noticed something interesting coming out of this pandemic. Plastic bag inside another plastic bag inside another plastic bag. And I like to say, yes, we are in a pandemic, but yes, climate change is still happening. So I think more than ever, we need to advocate for a planet. It's so funny to me when people are wondering how these fires keep happening. And I find that kind of interesting because I think that goes to show how there is not enough good information on global warming and climate change, especially how these two phenomenons spark fires all over the world. World is heating up, and so this also is melting glaciers and sparking more fires because we're creating a more dry environment where it's more susceptible. Don't be afraid to question how things are, because nothing new or no change will ever spawn if you don't simply inquire. This is something I actually learned from a science teacher. is to ask questions.
The person who dares to ask a question is a fool for a moment, but the person who doesn't is a fool for life. I think something that we need to instill more is inquiring and asking questions and outlining a safe place for young people to be curious about things. Because once we can embed that curiosity, we can start taking action and figuring out resolutions of how we can solve these real-world issues. Getting more involved. After you have set in stone your intentions, I think that by doing so, you can figure out what you can do to take action. For example, doing volunteer opportunities or the best thing is to look at your life, see how you produce waste, see how you can do an individual thing. Let's say you're a good writer, maybe start writing letters to the government. Yeah. Or maybe you're an artist. Try recycling art. As an artist, I've kind of switched to, with my canvases, I like to reuse old pieces of cardboard, or I incorporate discarded pieces of plastic as resources. And so as an artist, you can do that as well. And so I think also, discovery is another key paradigm of this, is consistently discovering new ways to be more conscious, and most of all is to build a community, because no one person can solve our climate crisis, global warming. I think it has to be a community-oriented thing where we all pitch in and do our part.
The brands we choose generally aren't first cruelty-free, like Angela was talking about, and this has to do a lot with influencers and hauls. A lot of times there's hauls that are like $1,000 haul to Shein or something.
But we don't see enough creators promoting more ethical fashion, or even the idea of shopping less or secondhand. So I think this podcast is dedicated to learning about how you can have a better footprint. And so one way is through your fashion choices, which ties into cruelty-free and the products you consume.
We don't want to keep on making more and more clothes. This is a perpetual problem with fast fashion. Thrift stores have so many clothes that at one point they have to discard some if they're not getting bought or taken. And so that's why I've challenged myself to shop at the sales part section of many thrift stores, because these are clothes that are almost about to get thrown away and put back into the landfill. Okay, so sweatshops is a part of this fashion segment that we're gonna be talking about. So these are factories where workers are usually exploited with low wages for strenuous hours under poor working conditions. In the 1990s, more than 400 workers have died, and this is child slave labor, sexual harassment, and dangerous chemicals as well. And so it exerts a lot of toxic chemicals that can enter in our skin and harm workers and pollute the water as well. And so with this being said, a lot of the materials that are used for fast fashion generally are pretty cheap and they're not that
durable. This is a problem within itself, because it makes the clothing dispensable, and this is why it creates so much waste, because with fast fashion, it's meant to look trendy, not to last long. So that's why oftentimes you wear out these Forever 21 clothes. When you no longer have use for them, you have to discard them. And that obviously goes back into landfills. And because the materials also waste so much water, 2,000 gallons per t-shirt. And so it's really important that we learn how to reuse our fabrics and create new clothing with that. And I know a lot of fast fashion sometimes say that they use that they use reusable materials, but that sometimes isn't true. So you have to do your research and be thorough with what you buy, especially get secondhand. Brands themselves will also waste a lot. I find it similar to how restaurants oftentimes, like after days of work, they throw away full, perfectly fine pies because of their quote unquote image. And I just think to myself, this could be used for so much more. For example, to feed homeless. And with fast fashion, you could use these materials and repurpose them and refocus them to help the environment versus hinder it. Because a lot of times it's systematic. These habits of being wasteful in these industries.
And 10,330 liters of water are used for like a single jacket. This is 24 years of drinking water for a person to put in perspective. 24 years to make a single jacket. Take out like a jean jacket in your closet. If you suck out the water out of that jacket, you would have 24 years worth of water.
Does that mean it's good if there's like a drought? We just suck it all from the shirt?
Yeah. Take notes.
A really good straw.
And not to mention, the chemical processing that comes from fast fashion oftentimes gets dumped into rivers in Indonesia, which causes sickness for children there. So, I mean, I think even though... So this kind of struck me in a way that even though you personally are not being affected, you're like, oh, well, I'm not getting sick from my clothing or chemically getting polluted. Other people in the world are. And people have to realize that these clothes aren't just disappearing once you donate them. They're living on for many, many years. And so that brings up a point to upcycle your clothing. I actually saw a video of this woman who started her own company, and she takes discarded garments
to make new clothing. Yay! Bringing this fashion segment to a rear. Lastly, I'd like to say, is my challenge to everyone is to use what you have. I think that I read an article where it talked about how once we put an item in our closet, it has less value. But I think if we can renew that kind of excitement and sensation that we get from new clothes, we can start being more ethical, even whether we are conscious of it or not. And lastly, just shop less. When you can, don't keep on indulging in new items if you don't need it. Like, ask yourself, do I need this or do I want this? And inventory before you shop on what you already have.
If you don't like the style of a certain look, or if you get hand-me-down and it's like a little too big or it's a little too,
learn how to work it.
One of my newfound hobbies is customizing clothing, whether I'm painting old jean jackets that my brother gave me or painting on the back of my pants or something. Customize it to your liking. You can also hem it or add fabrics from a different article of clothing to mesh it. You know, get creative.
I know it seems so fickle, like,
oh, it's just clothing, who cares?
Nearly 10% of annual global emissions comes from clothing, and especially unethical brands.
Quote, a global citizen is someone who is aware of and understands the wider world and their place in it. They take an active role in their community and work with others to make our planet more peaceful, sustainable, and fairer. And that's from the, what? Oxfam .org.uk, and we kind of learned a bit about it in World Geography, which Gianna and Angela don't have yet.
You can donate to humansociety.org. We'll also have this below in the description of our podcast, so make sure you check that out. Cruelty-freeinternational.org. worldlife.org, which is WWF against animal abuse. You can also reach out to your legislators and voice your concerns.
Oh, I just wanted to fangirl about Bernie Sanders for a second. I haven't really been keeping up with him, but he supports drastic change in order to help the climate. That would also generate a bunch of jobs and help cut down emissions and put renewable energy. Oh, there's also the European Green New Deal, which is, I think, like the European leaders kind of come together and they're all talking about what they can do to cut emissions by hecka. Yeah.
Yeah, and like Angela said in the beginning of the podcast, as a little icebreaker, check out the cruelty testing documentary of Saving Ralph.
Save Ralph.
Save Ralph. Hashtag Save Ralph. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Remember to be a better global citizen and support it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You can make a difference.
A fetus.
Yes, and support different campaigns, learn how to be a better consumer, waste your food less, especially coming out of this pandemic. I think this podcast, I really just wanted to have it as a wake-up call for most people and for myself that, yes, global warming and climate change are still a thing. And so the more and more we talk about it, the more change we can enact. And so that's why it's important to not only support small businesses, support more ethical and conscious shopping lifestyle and be a better student. Also to volunteer, to take action, even within your school, it doesn't matter where you are, you can be more conscious and be the change you wish to see in the world. Remember, leave the earth better than you found it, and follow us at EcoTalkPod on our Instagram to get notifications and to also see some awesome art from young people. And we'll also post some volunteer opportunities, how you can take action. So I think it's great if you're a listener of this podcast to follow our Instagram. And with that being, and to end us off,
go to Ecology Task Force.
Hashtag Ecology Task. Also follow Ecology Task Force, which is the club that we are a part of at school too. That is an amazing organization as well. Extremely kind and compassionate to all of the custodians out there. They've been working hard. Treat people the way you want to be treated. The golden rule.
Reverse of the vandalism. Where it's a devious lick instead of an angelic yield. So just instead of like vandalizing, you be nice. I saw a video, someone put really good soap.
Hashtag angelic yield. Be kind to your custodians. Be a better environmental steward. Keep listening to this podcast and listening to new perspectives. And peace out.